We all know that feeling, don't we? You're trying to do something really good. You've got the best intentions,
Yeah.
but somehow things just don't quite land the way you expected.
Exactly. Happens all the time.
Well, today we're actually taking a look at a story from the Bible that's pretty much all about that exact thing.
We are. We're diving into 1 Chronicles chapter 13. It's the story of King David's first try at bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem.
Right, the Ark. And this wasn't just, you know, some fancy box. It was a huge symbol of God's presence.
Absolutely central.
So we've got the biblical text itself and some analysis to help us kind of unpack what this ancient story might mean for us today.
The idea is to really understand what went down with David and the Ark, and maybe pull out some insights for our own faith journey.
Okay, so set the scene. David's king now.
Right, David's king. And he looks around and realizes, hey, during Saul's time, the Ark of the Covenant was sort of neglected.
Ignored almost.
Pretty much. So he gathers the leaders, talks to all the people of Israel, and there's this big agreement. Let's bring the Ark back, make it central again.
So it wasn't just Dave's idea, it was collective.
Yeah, the text emphasizes that. A real collective decision, a shared feeling that this was important. It's presented as a moment of unity, actually.
Okay, so they gather this huge crowd, it says, from all across Israel, right? To get the Ark from Kirjath-Jearim.
Yep. So it's like a massive, enthusiastic project. Everyone's excited. Everyone's behind this really good
Good
goal.
intentions all around. So how did they actually plan to move it?
Well, this is key. They get the ark from Abinadab's house, and they put it on a new cart,
A cart, okay.
driven by Uzzah and Ahio.
Oh.
And the procession starts, and it's described as incredibly joyful music, singing, just pure celebration.
You can picture it, can't you? This big happy parade. But then
Oh, yeah.
something changes. They get to a place called Chidon's threshing floor.
Right. This is the moment it all goes wrong.
Okay.
The text says the oxen pulling the cart stumbled, and Uzzah, probably just reacting instinctively, reaches out his hand to steady the ark, maybe worried it would fall off.
Makes sense. Seems like the logical thing to do.
You'd think so, the reaction wasn't what anyone expected. The text says God's anger flared up, and Uzzah died right there on the spot.
Wow. Just like that.
Instantly. It's a really stark, shocking moment in the narrative.
I can only imagine David's reaction.
Well, the Bible says he was distressed, but also afraid, like deeply shaken.
Understandably.
He even names the place Perazuzah, which means the breach of Uzzah. He's so unsettled that he actually halts the whole plan. He decides not to bring the ark into Jerusalem right then.
He pauses everything. That fear must have been intense.
Yeah, it seems like a mix of grief, confusion, and genuine fear of God's power. Maybe realizing something was fundamentally wrong with their approach.
So what happens to the Ark then? They can't just leave it there.
No, he arranges for it to be taken to the house of a man named Obed-Edom, who was a Gittite. It stays there for 3 months.
Okay, and what happens while it's there?
This is interesting. The Bible says that during those 3 months, the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household.
So, disaster in one moment, blessing in the next, associated with the same Ark. Okay, let's unpack this. Good intentions, big celebrations, sudden tragedy, then unexpected blessing. What are the takeaways here?
Well, the first big one seems to be about good intentions versus God's specific instructions. David's desire was good, absolutely. Honoring God, bringing the ark back, that's commendable.
That's the method.
Putting it on a cart, that wasn't how God had said it should be done. Later analysis, looking back at, say, the book of Numbers, clarifies that only Levites were supposed to carry the ark, and using poles on their shoulders, not on a cart pulled by oxen.
Ah, okay, so the what was good, but the how was wrong. They missed a crucial detail in God's instructions.
Exactly. It suggests that our zeal, even for good things, needs to be informed by God's revealed will. The process matters, not just the outcome we want.
That ties into Uzzah then, his action, reaching out.
Right. It highlights this profound need for reverence for God's holiness. The ark was sacred, set apart. Touching it directly, even with the intention of protecting it, was crossing a boundary God had established.
So it wasn't about Uzzah having bad motives necessarily.
Probably not. He likely meant well.
Oh.
But it shows that God's holiness isn't something to be treated casually. There are consequences when sacred boundaries are crossed, even unintentionally. It demands respect.
That's a sobering thought. What about David's role in this as the leader?
Well, it shows that leadership, especially spiritual leadership, needs more than just enthusiasm. David had the passion, the vision.
Yeah, he got everyone fired up.
But that zeal needed to be coupled with wisdom with careful attention to God's principles. It's a balance, passion, and proper process.
And his fear. You mentioned he was afraid. That wasn't just panic then.
It seems not entirely. That fear actually led to a necessary pause, a reassessment. It forced him to stop and eventually figure out the right way. Sometimes setbacks, even scary ones, can be God's way of redirecting us.
A course correction. Okay.
It prompted reflection, which is often needed when things go unexpectedly wrong.
And then there's Obed-Edom, the blessing on his house. That's significant too, right?
Hugely significant, because the ark stays with him, and presumably it's treated with the proper respect there. His household experiences God's blessing. It's like a direct contrast.
Right. Disobedience, even unintentional, led to disaster. But honoring God correctly led to blessing and life.
It powerfully illustrates that when we align ourselves with God's ways, his presence brings positive things.
Okay, so how do we take these lessons, you know, from ancient Israel and apply them now to our lives?
Well, that first point about passion and process is timeless, isn't it? We get excited about doing something good, maybe for God or in our work or family.
Yeah, we jump in with both feet.
Exactly. And this story reminds us to pause and ask, okay, I'm passionate about this, but am I going about it in the right way? Am I following the guidelines, the principles that matter? Especially in faith, are we making sure our how aligns with God's how?
Making sure our enthusiasm doesn't just steamroll the instructions. That's a good point.
And the reverence piece. Respecting the sacred.
How does that look today?
I think it applies broadly. Treating our relationship with God seriously, not casually. Treating sacred things, maybe scripture, worship, prayer, with intention and respect. But also, maybe extending that to respecting commitments, relationships, responsibilities. Not treating important things lightly.
Avoiding that casualness towards things that should be held with care. Yeah, I see that.
And learning from mistakes. David didn't just give up.
No, he eventually did bring the ark to Jerusalem, right? But differently.
Yes, later on, he organizes it according to the proper instructions, with the Levites carrying it. He learned from the failure. And that's crucial for us, too. Mistakes happen. Things go wrong. The key is, do we learn? Do we reflect? Do we adjust our course like David did?
Using failure as feedback, essentially.
Precisely. And that leadership lesson needing wisdom alongside zeal, that's not just for kings or pastors.
Right. It's for anyone trying to lead or influence in their own context.
In our families, workplaces, communities, seeking godly wisdom, maybe counsel, not just running on our own steam or assumptions.
And finally, Obed-Edom's blessing.
It's such an encouraging picture. It invites us to actively welcome God's presence into our own homes, our daily lives, not fearfully like David initially, but reverently, like Obed-Edom presumably did.
And trusting that his presence brings transformation and blessing.
Exactly. Expecting good things when we honor him rightly.
So, thinking about strengthening our faith today, this story really drives home that God cares about the whole picture, doesn't he? Not just that we want to connect with him.
But how we go about it. Our hearts need to be right, yes, full of desire for him. But that desire needs to be matched with a commitment to understand his ways and actually follow them.
Obedience born out of love and respect.
And when we see the blessings that come from that alignment, like with Obed-Edom or later with David when he does it right, that reinforces our faith. It shows us God is active, he does care, and following his path leads to life.
So, summing it up, good intentions, absolutely necessary. But they need to walk hand in hand with obedience, with reverence, with actually doing things God's way.
That seems to be the heart of it. Which leads to maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to mull over.
Okay.
Just consider, is there any area in your life right now where maybe your really good intentions could use a bit more alignment with a truly thoughtful, reverent approach to how God might want things done.
Where might passion need a bit more process, grounded in God's ways?
Exactly. Something to reflect on and maybe see how thinking about that could deepen your own journey of faith.
That's definitely something to chew on. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive today.
Yeah, great discussion.
We hope this look at 1 Chronicles 13 has given you some valuable things to consider.